Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
So as you know, I hope you know, we are in our series, The God I Know. And throughout this series, we've been hearing from a whole range of people across our church about the God that they know. So today, we're not quite nighttime yet. Today, I want to invite Oscar forward to come and share about the God that he knows.
Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, as I was introduced, my name is Oscar. The God I know is my friend. So after a profound year of amazing spiritual growth in 2022, 2023 actually brought the opposite. It had unexpected challenges as it opened up my heart and presence even further to God. And his presence actually revealed parts of my heart I had long shielded. And this included past hurts where I had been wronged by someone many years ago. Throughout the year, I actually grappled with emotions and thoughts that led me feeling ashamed, fearful, and just deeply wounded. I questioned these emotions, wondering why they surfaced after so many years. In early 2023, Mel actually spoke a prophetic word over me, saying, "There's a storm over your head, Oscar, and God's going to teach you how to speak his truth over your circumstances." I tried to focus on the second half of a prophetic word as much as I could. As 2023 continued, these emotions and thoughts actually intensified, making me feel like I was in a cloud of emotions. Despite my efforts to correct the situation through various means, including reading, music, and prayer, I found myself just stagnant and not able to move forward. So realizing my need to surrender control, I opened up myself to a journey of humility. And this actually came from the suggestion of my girlfriend. And she actually said, "Oscar, why don't you just put everything down? You'll feel vulnerable, but just let God catch you." And so that's what I did. So I actually just took the jump. So I allowed myself to feel vulnerable in his presence. With humility came healing as I switched surface level prayers and just poured out my heart to God. And it was just very, very unfiltered and just raw. In God's presence, I discovered a friend who truly understands and meets me where I am. Slowly but surely, he began to turn my situation around, guiding me with wisdom and compassion. So these are some of the things I learned in this season. So fearlessness in his presence, compassion for others, consistent Bible reading, humility to acknowledge my limitations, the power of speaking the truth over my life, and the freedom to be authentic in his presence. So ultimately, God has become my partner and my friend, leading me through this storm and into a place of healing and wholeness. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Oscar. It's almost like Oscar knew what I was going to preach about today. I love it when God does that. The God I know. So we're in our final week of this series, where we have been challenged and equipped to live out the greatest calling on the lives of every believer, which is to share our faith and to lead others to God. So our foundation scripture, if you remember, for this series is found in 1 Peter 3. And it says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared to give an answer. And I hope that you have been inspired by the testimonies that you have heard throughout this series, by the truth that you have heard throughout this series, and have put thought to your own testimony about the hope that you have in God. See, I believe the most powerful question that we will ever ask and answer is, who do I know God to be? Not just who is God, but who do I know God to be? As believers, this is a critical question that we get to ask ourselves day after day after day. In the midst of all that we journey, the challenges, the decisions, the unknowns, the blessings, the question in our hearts should always be, who are you in this, God? Because the answer to that question is the compass for our lives. So I want to, I guess, preamble this series a little bit today by exploring a little more this idea of knowing God. Because for some of you, it's still just an idea. And for others, you know, you can see God on the periphery of your life and you're just not quite sure. How do I know him? How do I get closer? And for others, you've been walking with God for as long as you can remember. And in as much as you've come to know him, you've also come to know that there is immeasurably more to know about him. So to share God with the world starts with knowing God, truly knowing God. See, the world has more than enough ideas about God, and many of them are inaccurate. And just the idea of God, right or wrong, won't change a life, but knowing God will. So if you surrendered your life to Jesus last week, or whether you've been walking with him for 50 years, you have known him. You have known him in some way, and it has changed your life. And the God that you know, the world is aching to know. John 17 says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." See, every person's supreme purpose and supreme need is to know God. Eternity has begun for all of us. It has begun. And our call to share the God we know in the world is the invitation to eternal life for so many that are out there waiting. Yet knowing God can feel like a bit of a mystery sometimes. See, God is invisible, he's infinite, he's transcendent, he's spiritual, he's beyond human comprehension. And I'm limited in my flesh and in my mind and in my spirit. I'm limited. Yet God enters into our limitedness and into our humanity and into our everyday to meet with us if we are willing. So a couple of weeks ago, my daughters were given, you know, those paint by numbers sets. Do you know those? Yep. They weren't given the kiddie version. They were given the adult version, right? So they've got these, it comes with a canvas and it's got outlines of the image, with, it's got all different numbers in it. It comes with the paint, comes with the paintbrushes. And they were so excited to get these. And my eldest daughter came up to me and she said, "Mom, can this be something that just you and me do together?" And I said, "Absolutely, it can. Absolutely, it can, of course." And so it has become this special activity that I do with them individually. And we sit and we paint and we talk and they ask questions and I ask questions. And as I was sitting with my eldest daughter last week doing this, I had a moment. And I sat and I was looking at her and I was watching her and I was listening to her talk to me and I thought, I love this. I love this. You know, we were painting together, but it wasn't the painting. It was the relationship. It was the bonding. It was the growing together and knowing that I loved. And it's the same with God. Your life is a canvas for your relationship with him. He's laying down brushstroke after brushstroke after brushstroke as you do life with him. Just imagine for a minute at the end of your earthly life, entering into heaven, and God holds up this finished masterpiece in front of you. I know he doesn't need a paint by numbers, right? He doesn't use a paint by numbers. He's got a plan, but he doesn't need a paint by numbers. But he holds up this finished masterpiece in front of you. And he says, you see all that yellow across there? That was the time you needed to know that I was your comforter. And I comforted you. And you see the blue? It's when you needed to know I was faithful and I would never leave you. You see the red? You needed to know I was your savior. And I showed you I was your savior. And he goes through every color after color after color, revealing who he was for you in every moment. Every moment is an opportunity to know God more. Every moment of our lives is an opportunity. Your life can be a masterpiece called knowing God. Because the God I know desires to be known. Perhaps you're here today and you don't yet know that God desires for you to know him. See, the story of the world as it's laid out in the Bible is the story of God who, out of the greatness of his love, created humanity that we would know him. And if you read the scriptures with this understanding, you start to see how from the beginning to the end, God set a plan in place and is continually at work to keep the way open to relationship with him. He desires to be known. And the prophet Hosea wrote this to the people of Israel about 700 years before Jesus came. He wrote this, "Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring." So when this was written, the people of Israel had turned away from God. They'd looked to political alliances, to idol worship, to other gods for help. And the consequences for them were moral and social decay. Life was breaking down. And here Hosea cries out to them. He says, no God in this. Seek after him and he will respond to you. Even when you've turned away from God, in his enduring love, it is his desire to respond to you. See, not that many years later, the prophet Jeremiah wrote these words to the people of Judah, and they're the words of God. He said this, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Many years later, James, in the book of James, addressing a group of persecuted Christians, this would be written, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Jesus himself said, "Seek and you will find." You will find. It seems as if people, as a group to which I belong, on the whole, largely, need reminding regularly that God is present and he is waiting for us to genuinely seek him and know him. And knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. It's kind of like online dating. And I know you've immediately made the connections. It's kind of like online dating. Before I met my husband, that fine specimen of a man sitting in the front row. That's him. I know. What a man. I dabbled in online dating. Boy, can I tell you some stories. But I will save those for another time. But I would read these, you know, profiles, right, of people. You put up your profile. I would read through these profiles and, you know, we would talk about their lives, their interests, what they want, all the things. Yet, reading their profile did not mean I knew them. I knew about them, some curated information about them, but I did not know them. Even before I met my husband, I would, you know, people would tell me about him. I heard about him from others. But it wasn't until we started to date for the 3 minutes that we dated before we got married. But it wasn't until we started to date that I really started to get to know him. And I can say that, you know, after 11 years of journeying with him, journeying the good and the bad and the downright ugly, I know him. The mysteries of William Oates, I have come to know, but I am still getting to know him. Still getting to know him. See, the world knows about God, yet much of what they think they know is not who he truly is. And even as believers, we can be living our lives believing that God is something that he is not. It is one thing to meet God. It is another to develop intimate knowing and abiding relationship with God. So David Jeremiah, who's a Christian author and minister, says this: if we are not growing in knowing God, we will inevitably create a God that is convenient to us. We will worship a God of our own fancy, a God created out of our own hearts that makes us feel at ease with who we are. I think that's a pretty good picture of the world. People seeking after and worshiping gods created out of their own hearts. See, the God you create won't change your life, and it won't change the life of another. But the God you seek after and the God you come to know will. And we know God when we dwell with God. We know God when we dwell with God. When I was 12 years old, my parents separated. And it was a very difficult time in our family, very difficult time. And I was living with my mother, but I would go and visit my father and stay with him each week. And I remember that he would stir early in the mornings. And I would hear him stirring, and he would go into the lounge room of the home that he was living in, and he would sit. And I would, in my concern for him, I would sit at the door of the lounge room, which was always slightly ajar, and I would watch him. And I watched him sit, and I watched him read the scriptures, and I watched him write, and I watched him pray, and I watched him express emotion of the time. And to this day, while that time was so full of grief, it gifted me one of the greatest gifts I have ever received, which was that I learned to dwell with God. I learned that while I sat at my father's feet, while he sat at his father's feet, I learned what it was to do life with God. I learned the posture and the place of life. We know God when we dwell with God. You may know the story of when Jesus was a child and his family was traveling home from attending the Passover festival, the Feast of Passover in Jerusalem. And somewhere on the road home, his parents realized that Jesus was no longer with them. He was 12 years old at the time. Yeah, whoops, that's a big whoops in the parenting world. Panicking, they went back looking for him. No idea where he was. It took them 3 days to find him. 3 days to find their 12-year-old lost in the city of Jerusalem. And when they found him at the temple, sitting at the feet of teachers. And when they scolded him, told him off, Jesus' response was this: "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? I had to be in my Father's house." See, Jesus knew the place and the posture of dwelling with God, of knowing God. Later, it would be at Jesus' feet that Mary of Bethany would sit and listen and learn and know him and know the God who sent him. It would be sitting with Jesus where the disciples would come to know God. And the Gospels tell us that as large crowds of people would follow Jesus and seek after him, Jesus' response was that he would sit and he would teach them. And I love that the scriptures note that in those moments Jesus sat. He sat. See, in ancient Jewish culture, rabbis would sit as a sign of their authority and as a sign of their readiness to engage in some serious teaching. So Jesus, in his sign of, as a sign of his authority, would sit. But I think there was more to it than that. See, I believe he sat to get down to people's level and to look them in the eye and to sit in the dirt with them. Amid their everyday lives in everyday places, he wasn't moving or rushing. He made it personal. And in response, people sat with him. They were present. They cut out the distractions of life for a time. They were devoted to listening and to knowing him. 1 John 5 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life." So the God of all creation entered into our limitedness, and he invites us to sit with him, to be transformed in his presence by his word and by who he has most fully revealed himself in, which is Jesus. See, the goal of reading scripture, the goal of reading the Bible, is to meet God on every page. I think we can often read the scripture with a lens of duty or a lens of my needs and my life and my desires, and that's okay. The scriptures are for us, but they're about God. And when you choose to read this incredible word through the lens of knowing God, you know, what's his character? What are his motivations? What does he like? What does he hate? Then you come to truly know him. And you're transformed because of it. I'm studying my master's at the moment, and a couple of weeks ago I went into an intensive school. Anyone know those? They're called intensive for a reason. Yep. So it was a couple of days of intensive school where you go in and you learn hard. You learn hard and you learn fast and you learn a lot. And I remember many years ago, God put me through a Knowing God intensive school. I just didn't know it was happening at the time. Because I'd prayed to him and I'd cried out to him and I said, God, I want to know you. I want to know you better. And I found myself for a period of time, like, so, you know, day one, I got up and I went into the scriptures as I usually would do, and off the page would leap this image of God, the warrior in my life, the ever-present help in times of trouble. And I would go out into my day and, interestingly, I would face something where I needed some help in times of trouble. And the next day I would go and sit with God and I would see and meet this God who is my provider. And I'd go out into the day and I'd hit a time where I needed provision. And the next day, I'd go in and I'd meet this God who was my comforter. And sure enough, that day, I went out and I found myself facing something where I needed the comfort that only God can bring. And by about day four, I was like, I can see what's happening here. But you know what? I was excited. I was excited for the God that I was going to get to meet the next day and the next day and the next day in his word and then experience him. There is always more of him to know. I think we should be a people with 100 testimonies, more of the God that we know. Every day knowing him more and more and being changed by him more and more. See, the Apostle Paul's life is a testimony to this. He was totally transformed when he came to know Jesus for who he truly was. Paul went from persecuting and killing Christians to evangelizing and building the church. Total turnaround. And having walked with God for 25 years, Paul wrote in Philippians 3 that he considered everything else as a total loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. Everything else as loss. There is no greater calling, nor any greater need in all of our lives than to know God. The God that Paul knew, the God that Paul came to know, he was compelled to share. He could not keep it to himself. Because there is a natural progression between knowing God and sharing God. And the incredible love of God that has done a mighty work in your life. He's taken that same power that he's outworked in your life and he has infused it in your story. He has infused his power and his authority in your story. And the world needs to hear it. Because it's not, the power doesn't rest just in the story that, the testimony that you have. It rests in the testimony that you share. So we've heard throughout this series incredible testimonies, and I hope that it has moved you to put pen to paper to write about the God that you know. We've loved hearing them, and we'd love to hear your story. So we invite you to send your story into us. You can send it to the office email, but we'll also send out a link to you so that you can send those into us, because we want to encourage each other by the power of God outworked in our lives. So we've talked a lot today about knowing God. And the first step to knowing God is to opening your heart to Him, to surrendering to Him. And you might be here today and you have never done that. You've never opened your heart to God. Or maybe you're here and you have done that before, but you've turned away, you've walked away, and you need to get back to the dwelling place of God. So we're going to give you an opportunity now to step back in, to open your heart to Him. And the way that we do that is that we pray a prayer together. And then after we've prayed that prayer together, while every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to indicate that you have prayed that prayer for the first time, or that you're coming back to God, so that one of our team can come and meet with you after the service. So why don't we all just close our eyes across this place? And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus that I might know you. Thank you that he gave up his life for me and made the way for me into eternal relationship with you. I open my heart to you today. I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me for my sins and help me to truly know you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.